morning, Pop Chasers, and happy December 30th. We are 48 hours away from the new year. New year, new me. New me. What's the phrase? New year, new you? I don't know. I don't think we need to have any resolutions, just because here's the thing. I've always had, you know, I'm always like, oh, this year I'm going to drink 80 ounces of water a day, or this year I'm going to do this, or I'm going to take 10 minutes a day to meditate. I never do it. I do it for about 2 weeks and then I'm like, oh God, this is exhausting. So I think let's just live in our truth. Let's not waste our time with like some bullshit resolutions, and let's move into the new year with fresh mind. I do want to just start out today. First of all, I'm Allison, the host of Pop Chaser, a daily pop culture podcast brought to you by The Dip. I want to start out today with a PSA. And that is something that I saw on Kiki Monique, aka the Talk of Shame on Instagram, on her grid. And this is something that actually like stopped me in my tracks. And that is that Apple has a new software update, iOS 15.2. I don't know what any of that means. But in this new software update, there is something called a legacy contact. You're probably like, a legacy contact? Tell me more. A legacy contact is when you can, you know what? I'm going to let MacRumors.com explain it. Apple is making it easier for your loved ones to access your personal data in the event of your death with the addition of a legacy contact feature. A person set as your legacy contact gets a special code that can be provided to Apple alongside a death certificate to unlock your device. You know what I want to make sure is the case when I die? That no one ever gets access to my phone. In fact, I think if iPhones are still a thing when I die, I would prefer if it got put into the crematorium with me. Let's let it burn and then rise like a phoenix, rise from the ashes. All of my secrets, all honestly, it's not even secrets as much as it's shady Instagram screenshots. Let them just float into the ether with me. I don't need people knowing how shady I can be. I don't need that. Even like my absolute best friend, I respect her enough to not, I don't want her to, I don't need, even if she's the receiver of most of the screenshots, like I want her to remember me fondly. I certainly don't want my parents getting access, because then there's just going to be things like, I'm not going to be able to explain a lot of it because I'm dead. And there's always an explanation, right? There's always an explanation why like you have a zoomed in, photo of like what you thought was an ingrown hair on like your neck, but it turned out to be like a blackhead or something. Like, I'm sorry if that's gross. I don't have that, but like, you don't need people being like, what is this photo? Like, what is this? So I would just recommend everybody, if you are going to exercise the legacy contact feature in this new iOS update, choose wisely. It is a dangerous world out there, and you have to trust your data with the people who are just as garbage as you. That's the truth. That's honestly what I'm trying to get at. So I just needed to share that with you. It did feel important. It felt like something that the world needs to know. Are you going to use the legacy feature contact, or are you going to be like me who got her car towed yesterday and had to go to kind of a weird area, an area I'm not familiar with, at least, to go get my car. And I shared my location with my friend, and my message to her was, just remember, HBO limited series, pick somebody pretty. Because I already gave her the rights to my life for an HBO limited series. And I don't want it to be like HBO limited series and then like Big Little Lies, they come back for season two. It's 8 episodes and it's done, because we're going to end on a high note. That's all I have to say about that. Let's move on to happier news, and that is Sex and the City. So this episode of Sex and the City did one thing, and that was to remind you that these ladies are getting older. The passage of time doesn't halt for Samantha, or, well, I don't know about Samantha, Miranda, Carrie, or Charlotte. Samantha, on the other hand, is alive and well and texting. I'll get into that in a moment. But these women are getting older. Carrie has to get a hip replacement, or like it has to get hip surgery. She can't wear her heels. It's a whole thing. I can't believe we spent a whole episode on just Carrie's hip problems. With that said, it did give us some good moments. Miranda, I think, hit rock bottom when it comes to her, this like identity crisis that she's having. And, or maybe it's an identity like aha moment, a come to Jesus moment for her. I don't want to necessarily put it in a bad light, but she was in charge of watching Carrie, who is recovering from this hip surgery. Carrie needs to pee. Girl just needs to pee. She can't get out of bed without help. Meanwhile, Miranda is being shotgunned by Che in Carrie's shitty kitchen. And it was a low moment. And Miranda at that point had been doing tequila shots. I think that the alcohol storyline, the high-functioning alcoholic that they've painted Miranda Hobbs to be in this reboot, I think we've hit our peak. I think that it's going to hopefully start to resolve itself from here on out. With that said, I think that maybe is a little bit of it's too easy, because all we see is that she like ordered a book that she doesn't remember ordering. She pours her alcohol out into the sink. But I don't, just from my experience and in witnessing people who do struggle with alcohol dependency, I don't think it's like just something like it's, I hope that's not all it is, because it is a very serious and heavy topic. And I would like to see them actually give it the due justice. If they're going to introduce that storyline, then let's see it out properly. And I'm very interested to see where that goes. I'm also very interested to see where Che and Miranda go, because that was a shocker. I didn't realize Che was like Carrie's boss, but they reminded us of that about 17 times. Che and Miranda had a little sexual experience together in, again, Carrie's shitty kitchen. And I'm like, well, what's going to happen to Steve? Is Miranda going to tell Steve? Is Steve going to be okay with it? We know what happened in the first movie. I'm all sorts of stressed out about it, because I do think Steve is like one of the few remaining good men, but that doesn't forgive his affair in the first movie. I won't forget that. But I am team Steve, and I'm kind of like, oh, I'm kind of sad. But at the same time, it's nice that Miranda is maybe discovering a new side of herself that she's suppressed or just hasn't been able to explore because of societal constraints. I don't know. Che, I still love Che. I think that they're a fantastic character. And I'm excited to see where that storyline goes to. Carrie's hospital sweater. It is Chanel. I found it online. It is $5,500, more than a deductible. And she's also wearing $180 socks. I live for this woman. I mean, if there was ever a moment for them to give us like the unrealistic Carrie Bradshaw that we've been waiting so long for, it is her in the hospital with a Chanel cardigan. Realistic? No, not at all. But I'm fine with that. This is kind of what I'm looking for. And I'm also curious too, like the timeline of this show is really jumping, because Carrie at brunch before she gets hip surgery says everyone, she's had a rough couple months. I'm assuming that's obviously Big's death. So let's say like it's been 2 months since Big's death in episode 5. Then Carrie says at the end of episode 5, and 3 months later, I was back in heels. So I'm not sure if like she just said that and we are going to still see what's happening after that, or if we just jumped 3 more months. That in itself is an interesting concept, because it goes back to like, are we going to see what happens with Miranda and Che, or just Miranda and Steve, or just Miranda herself? How about the fact that Carrie is texting Samantha and Samantha's responding? Like, she is fully responding. Carrie told a story while hopped up on Vicodin, God bless, about how Samantha took her diaphragm out for her. And that happens in, I believe, season 2, episode 6. And Samantha's like, one of my finest moments, and doesn't care that Carrie shared the story. And then Carrie says, I miss you. And then Miranda or Samantha types, and then the typing dots disappear. I didn't realize that they were communicating. And I also feel like this is maybe leaving the door open for Samantha to return, question mark. I don't know. I just feel like the series finale or the season finale will be like, and just like that, we were all back together or something. Maybe she'll FaceTime them in, or we'll even just see like her texting saying like, I'm coming home. I just feel like they're going to try to get Cynthia, my God, that they're going to try so hard to get Kim Cattrall back on the show. And I'm not against it. I mean, the door was open already because they didn't kill her off, and it just keeps getting wider and wider. And she's going to be like the Kool-Aid man coming back in being like, hello there, I'm back. And I'm fine with it. And then let's see what other, I mean, Charlotte is helping her daughter explore and try to understand their identity. And I think gender identity is a really important conversation on a show that one time like negated the identity of all bisexuals. So it's nice to see that. It's interesting to see it with Charlotte, who I think is like, for the lack of a better phrase, like the most uppity one. It's funny too, because like we've gone like a decade with like memes and Instagram accounts like woke Charlotte York that almost make you remember her as more progressive. And then you realize like she actually is probably the most conservative of all of them. She didn't pull Carrie's diaphragm out of her, that's for sure. So I'm interested to see where that goes for Charlotte's storyline, and hopefully it'll allow her to step out of that old crusty Upper East Side world. And I just want more LTW, more Seema. Seema, I'm still living for her. Oh my God. Speaking of Seema, when Carrie and Seema go to her brownstone and they are in like the foyer, like the lobby area where the stairs are, I don't think in so many years we've seen the inside of Carrie's brownstone before she gets to her apartment door. And my mind was blown. It's beautiful. It's updated. And I don't know why I imagined it being so shitty. It doesn't necessarily align with like what we've seen in the original series, I don't think, but it was stunning and I was blown away by it. So kudos to the set designers. I think that they maybe have some explaining to do, but I'm not going to ruin the moment. It was just fun to a peek behind the curtain or the door. Okay, let's move on to the next topic. The last thing I want to discuss before we get to the wreck of the weekend early, because I will not have a new episode tomorrow, but I will put the top 50 best culture moments in the feed in case you haven't listened to that one. It's a nice way to wrap up the year. I want to talk about some celeb couples, one of them being Tayshia and Zach. So we know Tayshia and Zach from The Bachelorette split up within the last like month and a half. And I was personally devastated by it. Tayshia was devastated by it per the Men Tell All conversation she had with Caitlin about it. But people are starting to wonder if Tayshia and Zach will get back together because she's on Twitter liking his tweets. And if there's anything more 2021 than that, that is a sign of love, I think. But people have noticed that Zach tweeted a couple things over the Christmas holiday and Tayshia was liking them. Now, does that mean that like maybe they're just friendly exes? 100%. They could just be on good terms and she's just liking a tweet that says all is calm, all is bright, Merry Christmas. But I don't know, like, is it possible? I personally really kind of, I don't know. I read some things on Dumois that suggested that maybe Zach was a little like aggressive when it came to like pushing Tayshia during the New York marathon that I didn't like. That's all rumors. There's no truth to that, but I want Tayshia to be the winner here because I really love Tayshia. With that said, I really liked them together. So if they choose to give it another go, I hope it works. But whatever makes Tayshia happy makes me happy. Okay, another couple in the Bachelorette world, Michelle Young and Nate, are already planning their wedding, you guys. I mean, we have some couples that have been engaged for, I don't know, like 85 years. I'm looking at you, JoJo and Jordan. But Michelle and Nate are already planning the nuptials and they're looking at the summer of 2022. So if this happens, I will say like that would actually be a very successful turnaround. I don't know if maybe that screams we're just trying to, hopefully make this work because they don't want a long engagement. But this is, they said the planning is picking up speed. No shade to anybody who wants a long engagement, but that's not us. We're like, cool, you're my person, I'm your person, we're ready. And I do get that. I understand that. I also think when you're like older, you're like, well, what's the point? Like, we're going to spend, I'm an adult, you're an adult. Like, we want to do this. Let's do this. So cheers to the happy couple. And I hope it's televised so we can watch it. And then finally, the last thing is, this is shady. Doesn't have to do with the Bachelorette, but it does have to do with Chrishell Strauss, which is like, honestly, poor Chrishell. I mean, Chrishell Strauss is just like really fighting for her life out here. She just broke up with Jason. He didn't want to have kids. She did. I think that that's a very valid reason to break up with somebody. You guys need to be on the same page about something that's as fundamental as having children. But I also think it was all fake for the TV show. Justin Hartley, her ex, we know him from This Is Us, gave an interview with Haut Living, H-A-U-T, Haut Living, Haut Couture. and he said in an interview that was published on December 28th, that it's incredible. He's talking about his new marriage to his wife, Sophia Pernas. It's incredible when you're not forcing things. It doesn't have to be that hard. You just meet the right person and you go, oh, this is amazing. It's just so wonderful. You're so attracted and so attached to this person. You just love this person so much. A little shady, I think. This hint at like forcing things. I know that he and Chrishell, so I actually just started rewatching season one of Selling Sunset. I recommend it because it's so funny to see how the characters, and I am using characters, how they have developed over the seasons. But I will say that Chrishell in season one, they had only been married just under a year when she joins the brokerage, but they've been together for 5. And it's pretty, I mean, I find it like it's a slap in the face to say that to somebody who has already kind of been the victim in the situation, but maybe he's just like so fucking over this girl. I don't know. It seems like it. I just want to pour one out for Chrishell. I hope she finds her Prince Charming. And to loop it back around, I wouldn't be upset if Chrishell got some type of a dating show. Do I want it to be The Bachelorette? Absolutely not. But I'm like, come on, Netflix, like let's pull through on this one. Okay. Anyway, let's get to the wreck of the week. Really quickly, I have two things that I'm going to be watching. I haven't watched them yet, but I've heard fantastic things. And if you've watched them, please let me know what you think. And that is Sex Lives of College Girls. That is on HBO Max. It's a Mindy Kaling show. It follows the adventures of 4 freshman roommates in college. I love all Mindy Kaling shows, even Champions. I watched Champions way too many times. And obviously The Mindy Project is one of my favorite TV shows ever. And I'm so excited to dive into this. Sam Bush, aka the Bravo historian, told me that it's something that I'm going to love and I can't miss it. If you've watched it, let me know what you think. And the second one, a bit of a different genre, is Yellow Jackets, which is on Showtime. Keep seeing it during Dexter. And this is about a soccer team that the plane crashes, and it seems like some of them are resorting to cannibalism, and there's a big secret, and it kind of jumps between like 5 years after the crash or something. I don't know the full details, but we're in present day and there's a blackmailer, and I'm very into the premise. I'm interested to see what happens. It's loosely based off of a Brazilian soccer team that crashed in, I believe, I actually don't know where they crashed, but they crashed. So I'm interested to tune into that one. And it seems kind of maybe like it has a little bit of mystery. Everybody I've talked to loves it. So I'm going to dive into that too this weekend, ring in the new year with some probably traumatizing things, whether it be cannibalistic soccer girls or freshman year of college. If you're watching any of those shows, let me know. If you're watching something else, I would love to hear it. You can tweet me or message me on Instagram at Allison Piwo, P-I-W-O. And I will be back in 2022. I hate when people are like, see you next year, but I will be back in 2022 with a brand new set of headlines. We're going to ring in the new year together next Tuesday. Happy New Year, everybody. And truly, I can say this because it really fits. Cheers. Cheers.